You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kelly Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have many, many things coming up for you on the show today. In hour number two, Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau will be joining us to talk about the latest scams on which we should be updated. I just got another call from the Western Union. This has been happening like every 3 days lately. So I think we'll bring that up with Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau. If you have been pestered by something recently that you think is a scam, you can always let us know. Again, text it in at 855-752-4842. We will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Governor Gunslinger edition, so stick around for that. Right now, though, we are delighted to have joining us live Representative Mark Pocan. Good morning, sir. Thanks for making time for us today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me. Ask your consumer person something, if you would, please.
Sure.
I noticed a huge uptick on fake emails about my Social Security account ever since DOGE started messing around with our data. And I think that people have gotten very wise to trying to rip people off, because a lot of people tell me they're constantly checking their statement to make sure that nothing's happened to
sure.
it, because they don't trust these folks at DOGE. But I think that's made the number of people trying to rip people off increase. So for your listeners, that might be useful.
That's an excellent point, Representative. We will absolutely bring that up next hour with Lisa Schiller. Wanted to start off, there's a lot of things to talk about going on in Washington, but I wanted to start off with the tariffs. Depending upon who you speak to, it's either the greatest thing in the world and the most brilliant thing America has ever done, or this is a disaster. And I was very surprised to see this comment from the president of the MMAC, Dale Coyne, who was a longtime Republican in Wisconsin and then took over at the MMAC. He calls the tariffs, quote, one of the largest tax increases in U.S. history, unquote. It's kind of interesting how once you get away from the inner workings of the party that, I don't know, you can say true things.
Yeah. So unless you're a big fan of videos of monkeys throwing dung, there's no reason to really like the tariffs, because Trump's tariffs are a tax on all of us when they're done in this indiscriminate way. Now, I'm going to be real clear. I support targeted use of tariffs. If you're dumping cheap steel from China, we need to support our steel industry and the workers here. We should put a tariff on it. And there's other things that we should, especially with China, use strategic tariffs. But strategic use of tariffs is smart. Throwing dung is not. And what they're doing right now is the equivalent of throwing monkey dung by putting tariffs on absolutely everything without, you know, any thought whatsoever. You know, it's a concept of a plan, not a plan. And at that point, it becomes a tax on all of us. So I rarely say I completely agree with the head of the MMAC.
Right.
But, you know, it's true. It really does. It adds costs for the average person, and for a small business owner, it's really volatile, because then you don't know what to charge. I mean, I can tell you, we have a small business still, and I don't do anything day to day there, but you know, different contacts that you get, you don't know where a tariff's coming or not. Oh, now they're postponed. And if you don't have that kind of consistency, it's really hard to do your day-to-day business sometimes. So there's a lot of problems with the way tariffs are being handled right now.
I think that's something that, you know, what you just said now here, we're looking at, like, whether you're talking about tariffs or you're talking about DOGE or you're talking about immigration, they're all great ideas when you walk in the door and say, we want to take a look at overspending. We want to take a look at tariffs. We want to take a look at our immigration problem. then set up panels, talk to people, have long-term planning, execute those plans over years, maybe. And if you have the luxury of having a second term, I mean, he won't hopefully have a third term, but that's not the case here. We don't, people were trying to share videos of President Clinton. He fired 377,000 people. Well, they were let go over a 6-year study that took in all these accounts of what's going on. That's what we could do, but we're not. He just comes in with a literal chainsaw and says, this is what we're doing, and we're doing it now. Get on board or you are un-American.
Yeah, I mean, I could make a good argument for using some targeted tariffs, and we could figure out how to do that. Although, honestly, trade policy is better than just throwing tariffs out there. It's better to have it, you know, so everyone knows the rules and it's consistent. But by not doing that and not really having a plan and then putting tariffs on countries that don't have people and, you know, all of this stuff, it becomes, you know, who can actually think what we're doing is policy, right? It's not. It's just Donald Trump's whims. And the problem is, you know, we saw what happened and is happening to the stock market because of those whims. I just heard, I was listening to BBC a little bit this morning, and they were talking at a business program about how really it's the U.S. market that's off. Everyone else is kind of going, oh, yeah, there is that crazy guy again. But they're still trading pretty well. But we're just hurting the people of the United States right now because of what's happening. And, you know, that's supposedly the opposite of what Donald Trump wants to do. But, you know, you never know. I think the other thing is last week when he said, OK, buy stocks now. And then he put the 90-day pause on, like, you know, this is corruption. We see corruption right and left in this administration. But when you signal for all those same rich people that can afford to belong to Mar-a-Lago or can get this tax break that they've been, you know, it's their holy grail for the year. This is also like a signal to them to make money. And, you know, we need a president that's fighting for us, not just a few people.
Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene has said, because she has admitted that she made a whole bunch of money when that happened, but she's not involved in it at all. Her traders do those things. Of course, not that anyone would tell the traders that this might be coming, which would give you a little heads up about that. What is the likelihood that there will be any kind of legislation cracking down on insider trading within Congress?
There already is legislation. I'm a sponsor of what we've had in past sessions as well, because I get inside information, bluntly, from companies in district, from sitting in classified briefings, from having the experts in the world, but especially in the country, coming and talking to me. So I shouldn't be able to buy stock like everybody else. That is inside information. So there's legislation introduced, and Hakeem Jeffries just said he supports it, given what we just saw. The problem is, do you think that Mike Johnson is going to say, you know, it's the right thing to do?
Right.
No, I just don't expect that to happen. So all the rich members of Congress that buy their own stocks in trades are still going to make a lot of money off this. And we're going to continue to lose respect for the institution because of it. But until we have a change in who's in charge, no.
Well, and unfortunately, forgive me, but I do think it's important to point out that this is a problem on both sides of the aisle as far as members of Congress getting really, really wealthy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, half of my colleagues are millionaires. I'm not. You know, the
you got to try harder.
Yeah.
I know. I just got to buy some stock, I guess.
Come on.
You know, I'd be so much better off. But, you know, that's the problem is a lot of people, you know, congressional salary is like spending money, not like income, not like a job. And, you know, when they don't have to live in the same way as our constituents do, you know, then you're not making decisions in the same way. You're making decisions with a certain class of folks that you hang around with that do stock trades and things, you know, like
right.
The rest of us probably, you know, fill our tanks and gas. They're doing these other things. And that's part of the problem with the way Congress is made up.
If you're just joining us, Representative Mark Pocan is our guest, taking time out to give us a half an hour to kick things around because there's a lot of things going on in Washington. Representative, I want to go back to something you talked about. You mentioned small businesses, and we know that small businesses really are a major driver of the economy. And certainly the attention that Governor Evers gave to small businesses during COVID really helped Wisconsin weather that storm. And these tariffs in particular have got to be crushing, just crushing for our small businesses in Wisconsin. What are you hearing from folks?
Well, let me just use one sector just to give you an example, and that's agriculture, right? Our number one trading partner, if you're a bigger farm, And you don't have to be a big farm, but a bigger farm, and you're trading overseas. I mean, your number one trading partner is Canada. Number two is Mexico. Number three is China. Those were the first three countries that got tariffs, right? So already you're disrupting that level of agriculture. Then if you're a small farmer, or like the guest I brought to the State of the Union, he's got a CSA and about 90-100 families buy their vegetables and dairy from him. The milk bottles that he puts the milk in for them, the raw product comes from the U.S., goes to Canada. They're made in Canada. They come back to the U.S. They're going to get tariffed twice on the way there for the raw product and on the way back. And the price of milk bottles is going to double. Well, that means we all pay more for milk from a farmer like that because of tariffs. So, you know, just a market like that alone is hugely impacted. But, you know, what small business can you walk into anywhere in the United States where there's probably not, you know, a large number of products that are made in China or some other country? And, you know, if you can't guess where the tariffs are today because it's a constant roulette wheel of the daily tariff levels, then how do you know what to charge? Sometimes you'll absorb some of those losses, but only for so long. Sometimes you're going to raise prices, but then you don't want to raise prices if 3 days later or 2 days later, Donald Trump's going to lift them. At the end of the day, if you want to make things in the U.S. and I want to make things in the U.S., you need industrial policy to make companies make things here again. And the only way you're going to do that is by helping, you know, those companies to do that. But it's not going to happen in a week or two to do that. You know, it's often years to build up that production to do actually in the United States. So, you know, there's a like a broken clock is right twice a day. Donald Trump, I guess, can be right twice a day, but just he's doing it in a completely wrong way.
Well, and there's even questions about the mathematical formula they used to decide what level of tariffs they were going to institute on certain countries. I would feel better if they had used something from Schoolhouse Rock. At least I would know that that was based in some form of reality.
Look, do you trust the guy on numbers who thinks he weighs 224 pounds? Right? I am just not trusting this guy on numbers, period.
Representative Mark Pocan is our guest. When we return, we're going to talk about Mr. Garcia, who is still, we assume, alive in a Salvadoran prison. And so far, the Trump administration seems to be just ignoring the ruling of the Supreme Court. We'll continue our conversation with Mark Pocan on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Representative Mark Pocan is our guest, talking about some of the many, many goings on in Washington. Representative, we did want to ask you about the case of Kilmer Abrego Garcia. The Trump administration maintains that he is a member of a gang, and therefore they were justified in sending him to this prison in El Salvador. The Supreme Court essentially said, you need to bring him back. You need to facilitate bringing him back. And yet the Trump administration maintains they can't do that. He's in El Salvador, a sovereign country. The president of El Salvador was in the Oval Office this week saying, yeah, no, we're not bringing him back. What's next?
Yeah, well, I think this is we've been waiting to see what challenges Trump is going to do to various court orders. The good news is, and it is good news, we've had over 60 positive adjudications out of courts, over 45 different judges, including Trump-appointed judges, against things he's been doing. So we're doing pretty well with the rule of law. Including this decision by the Supreme Court. The question is, at what point, when you can't appeal it or do anything else, what happens if he doesn't comply? And right now it seems to be a debate over the word facilitate, which is idiotic. But, you know, if he can do this with someone who didn't do anything wrong, and this was an anonymous tip about this person, which no one else has said is true, that this person is a gang member. So, you know, Trump is just trying to save egg from his face. And I think he's afraid that other people could be challenged if he loses this challenge. Yes. So he just wants to stay awful, right, is what he's doing. But I think, you know, right now, Chris Van Hollen, senator from Maryland, who used to be the head of the budget committee in the House when I first got to Congress, one of the best and smartest members, truly, of the Senate, just landed this morning, excuse me, in El Salvador, to try to get more information and figure out what's happening. So I'm hoping, I mean, at some point, you know, as the legal challenges happen on this, we'll see where we get with Donald Trump. But the fact that they're so awful that they won't return someone they admit was by, man, you know, at what point, this is not a government for the people and by the people. This is a government run by a tyrant, a wannabe king. And we've got to stand up to this guy more.
And what does it say about two world leaders who they, I mean, it would be one thing if either president said, I won't do it, but they're both saying, I don't have the power. Well, right. What power do you have then? What can you do? You could have put the man on the plane when the president came to from El Salvador to America. I'm sure there was room.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello had conversations like this, right? Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know. Who's on third? Like, you know, I wish I remembered as a kid. I remembered the whole layout of that. But, you know, that's what they're kind of doing right now. But it's going to be, where does the legal challenge stop and what happens when you don't follow a legal challenge? This may be the first high-profile one. The good news, and again, I like to share good news. I did my podcast with Liberty and Justice for Some last Friday with Josh Call. We'll play it soon. And one of the things he made a point of, and I thought was really interesting, was he said, you know, and by and large, they're following the court orders. When the court says you got to do something differently, the Trump administration is following it. So the rule of law is working. And, you know, I'm not a lawyer and I've never been maybe the biggest fan of the legal, you know, lawyers in general, but right now they're saving us. It's litigation and communication that's working for us. So this just may be one of the highest profile challenges, but by and large, we are winning when it comes to court orders.
And I do want to clarify something, Representative, because we are accused of, you're supporting gang members and you want to allow gang members to run free. The whole point of this case with Mr. Garcia is due process. And right. if they don't have to do due process with this man, why should they have to do it with anyone, including American citizens? There is a really chilling article in the Bulwark that we will include in our show notes talking about, now I'm afraid to leave my own country because I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to get back in.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, if they can go after here, what next? You know, we know he's got a lot of populations he's targeted. He has an enemies list. And then, you know, what else can he do to folks without due process? And that's what we are, as a nation of laws, right? So that is important. But also think about it. Anyone that you want to, you know, try to get in trouble, you can just say that they're a gang member or whatever, anonymous tip. And if they can be disposed of, sent out of the United States,
disappeared.
I mean, how thrilling, is that to have as some kind of a template for future action?
Absolutely. Representative Mark Pocan is our guest. Let's talk town halls. It seems like some of our elected officials are holding town halls and others not so much.
Yeah, well, I saw Marjorie Taylor Greene just did one and they tased one of the protesters outside. I'll leave that to just everyone, you know, hearing that. But I'm doing a town hall tonight in Monroe, in Greene County, in my district. And then next Tuesday, I'm doing one in Derek Van Orden's district in La Crosse at 5 p.m. because we want to make sure that we're doing, you know, town halls where members aren't listening. And Derek Van Orden has never done an open public town hall in over almost now 2.5 years. So I'm going to, again, try to show him how to do it. He's invited. I'd love to do it with him, but if he's not going to come, I'll be glad to pick up the slack.
We also had a question from Andrew on the text line who said, please have Representative Pocan tell us, what is the best way to get our politicians to listen to us?
Yeah, I mean, don't let them get away with being cowards, right? That's what Derek Van Orden's doing right now. He's hiding in his basement instead of having public town halls. Actually, to be fair, I think he's on an international codel right now to Greece. Tough gig. A lot of Republicans, there was a reporter actually going around asking, a lot of Republicans are doing international codels during this in-district period because they're afraid of their constituents, which I find amazing.
Seriously.
Right? They found a way to leave the country rather than go home. But, you know, if they're having a meeting at the chamber, then be outside there and make it a town hall. Whatever they're doing, make them have to have a town hall and invite the press, because the press is rightfully so upset if you're not going to have accountability. Every town hall I've done in Derek's district, we've had great media turnout for that very reason. So don't let them get away with being chicken. Don't let them get away with not listening to you. Our job is to represent people's values in Washington and explain Washington back home.
You can always find the applicable phone numbers at myvote@wi.gov. MyVote@WI.gov. Check it out. Make a call. Let them know you're watching. Representative Mark Pocan, thank you so very much for your time, sir. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks as always. Thanks so much.
Take care. News coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bott, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have been mentioning this here and there, but I think it's important to remind folks, next week.
Yeah.
One week from today. April 23rd.
Darn right.
Things are going to be sliding around a little bit here on the network. sliding a little bit.
Slip, slide, or whatever that
is. Things are going to be changing just a little bit. The lineup is going to be changing across Civic Media next Wednesday. From 5 to 6, we'll have the Midwest Farm Report with the fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke.
Love her.
I do too. 6 to 9, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Greg and I and Calvin, we will be moving up an hour from 9 to 11 a.m.
Yep.
Then Tom Hartman takes over from 11 to 2. Our friend and colleagues, Todd Alba from 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6. Pete Schwaba from 6 to 8 p.m. Earl Ingram, host of the Earl Ingram Show, is staying with the network.
Yes.
And he's going to be doing special reporting. Mm-hmm. He's going to be doing in-depth reporting.
Yes.
He will be a regular guest on numerous shows across the network. Also, local shows John and Gordy in Madison on WMDX and Mano and the Mayor on WGBW in Green Bay will also still be there. So that is not changing. But just some other changes. A lot of the network hosts, those shows are slipping around a little bit. Just to give you a heads up.
Yeah.
So you're not surprised next week. And if you can't listen because you have a life and you have things and you have work and kids and parents and groceries and all those things, if you cannot listen live, you can always listen to it as a podcast if you want to catch up with the show.
Yep. Go to civicmedia.us, go to shows, and you can download the shows. We have two episodes per day for the show, one per hour, or you can also add in a sprinkle of This Shouldn't Be a Thing as well. Which
if you want a little lighter thing.
As its own little mini-sode. And also, if you don't want to do that as far as like going to the website every day, you can go to your podcast distribution center of choice, subscribe to the show as a podcast, and then it'll get automatically delivered to your show twice a day. And
puff,
boom,
just like that.
It's there. By the end of lunch, we're in your phone.
That may be good or bad, depending upon how you feel about the show. But
actually, by lunch next week, by lunchtime, you'll have us ready in your phone.
All ready to go.
Yeah.
So you can listen. You can listen at lunch anyway. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining us. What's up?
Well, I'm just calling because the 6 to 9 slot here in the Green Bay market is Mino and the Mayor. Is that staying?
That is staying.
Or
is
yes.
Going to become-
that is staying.
Yes. Okay.
Is that it?
Yep.
Yep, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on the lineup, let us know.
855-752-4842. You can also shoot us an email at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. We got a really nice email from Greg yesterday who mentioned that he worked in early morning television for years and years and years, mm-hmm. and he said, I am willing to get up an hour earlier just to listen to the show.
You know what? His name is Greg.
His name is
Greg.
Great
name, Greg. Great name.
That is a huge sacrifice. We really, really appreciate that.
Yeah. I won't get up early for certain things either. It's like, but you're a mensch. You're a good man, Greg.
You are a mensch. We really appreciate it. We were talking to Mark Pocan.
Yeah.
Before we went to the news, and he is having a town hall tonight, and we'll be having another one. And that kind of got us onto the subject of who is doing them and who is not. Town halls, good for thee, but not for me. One of them would be Wisconsin's own Tom Tiffany.
Oh, the man who really wants to get us a national park.
And apparently wants to be governor. That's kind of in the background. He hasn't officially announced that, at least not anywhere that I have seen. But I've seen some scuttlebutt that Tom Tiffany would like to... There's been chatter that he would like to be governor. This from WSAW-TV. We want a town hall with Tom Tiffany as people picket outside. This is... Yeah. Dozens of people last month lined up outside Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany's office in Wausau. Tiffany has not held a public town hall or a listening session since the end of January. He did, though, make time to attend a private event in Wausau.
They love their private events.
They do like the private events because I would assume, I have never been to one of these, mm-hmm. but I'm assuming that there are some requests for money at these private events.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the dinner that Derek Van Orden did, it was a Lincoln dinner, I believe. They always have their Lincoln dinner. It was like,
right.
40 or 50 bucks to get in to see sweet, sweet Derek Van Orden speak about or yell at you, depending on how where he is
well, there's that
day.
Tom Tiffany didn't have time, doesn't have time to meet with his constituents, not his regular constituents anyway. I'm sure it's probably different if you're a donor.
Absolutely.
That might be a little bit different, but he does have time, much like Ron Johnson, to make a stop by Fox News. Calvin, let's play this little clip from Wisconsin's own Tom Tiffany talking about how wonderful is the world of Doge.
You know, the Department of Government Efficiency has identified plenty of savings. There is plenty of room to find the savings out there, as has been identified over the last couple months. And that's part of the reason in the polling that you're showing there, Maria, it shows, what is it, almost two-thirds of Americans are saying we can reduce spending. They've seen the news stories about Doge and what they are doing. There's plenty of room to get those savings.
Oh, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
There are savings to be found. Not with a chainsaw, which is the way that they're doing it now. That is not, at least in my estimation, the most efficient way to achieve their goals.
And don't forget that savings that's going to come the government's way, quote unquote, will be passed along to multimillionaires. Mm-hmm. And billionaire, not you, unless loyal listeners, you are a multimillionaire or billionaire. If so, can I have some money? But they'll be sent to the richest people, not us, not the middle class, not the working class, not the working poor. No one who can't give hundreds of thousands of dollars to a sitting congressperson or senator.
I almost feel like we should have a different name for the different their constituencies.
Yeah.
The ones who donate. And the rest of us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, it's still the donating 1%. They'll be fine.
Yes. They're going to be just fine.
They're third and fourth and sixth boat. safe.
It's all good.
Good.
It's all good. Speaking of town halls, mm-hmm. Indivisible TOSA has invited Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson to attend a town hall meeting that is happening tonight. It's going to be at Denizen MKE. That's on 42nd and Valete in Milwaukee. This is open to the public. It starts tonight at 6:30. Again, the town hall meeting with or without, this is from their own press release, their town hall meeting with or without Senator Ron Johnson will be held tonight, 6:30 p.m., Denizen MKE. That's at 4227 West Valete Street in Milwaukee. It's an opportunity. I don't take a flat run.
Oh, a flat run.
Big cardboard cutout.
Make sure those eyes are blue and empty. Flat run.
855-752-4842. Cindy, you're back from Appleton. Cindy, you were at a town hall last Friday.
Yes, and before I say that, I just want to say, I don't know why they call it the Lincoln Dinner, because wasn't Lincoln the one that overturned slavery?
He was.
And aren't these the people trying to return slavery? I don't get that. They don't seem to be connecting the dots. Anyway, I was at the Weedless Town Hall last Friday in the year. And it was pretty well attended, like standing room only.
Great. Mm. What were you here?
He wasn't there. Well, we were everything. Education, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, you know, healthcare issues. I mean, just give the gamut, everything. Sure. I mean, everybody's concerned about everything and prices not coming down and tariffs and giving money to the rich. And, of course, there's been talk about him declaring martial law and all these other stupid things. But, you know, like I said, it was a room full of people and a lot of people spoke. And, you know, there's quite a few people that didn't. But for the most part, it was, like I said, it was very well attended. People were angry. Mm. And he was, as a cardboard figure, standing there with one of his fingers in the air. It wasn't the one finger. It was his first finger. But I went up there and I said, Tony, I know what finger you're really giving us.
Yeah.
And so.
Was that the one in DePere?
It was. It was the community center last Friday with Dr. Lyerly and Mark Beyer and Julie Hancock.
She sent us a photo of that event, and she said that they will be releasing audio from that event in the coming days.
Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate it. Alicia on the live stream says we had veteran after veteran stand up and talk at the Weedless Town Hall. Yeah, I don't think Tony Weed has held any public events.
No, of course not. He's being uninvited to dinners. He's not a stable leader as far as like reliable. He's not an apt congressperson, if you ask me. He's a guy who got in who said, I love Trump. And for some people, that's what it meant. And
that was enough.
And for the people who were like, Doge is doing a great job, they're like, that's my guy. And he's not talking to the people. And it wouldn't be hard to put together an event where you're talking to your people to at least say, I'm out there. But these guys, as you said, they're cowards. They're going to their paid events. They're staying indoors. They're going overseas. And meanwhile, as Cindy put it, people are angry.
And people are hurting.
Yes.
And people are hurting. Tom from L.A. on the live stream also pointing out Bernie Sanders and AOC have been traveling around the country and drawing huge crowds.
Yeah.
In areas where you would not expect, like Idaho and Utah. Big. Thousands of people.
Hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds. In some cases, hundreds of thousands of people. Yeah. It's been something, and I, correct me if I'm wrong, I assume these are not all Democrats who are showing up to these things.
I cannot, it's just like we talked about with Susan Crawford election two weeks ago. My God.
It was only 2 weeks ago.
Only 2 weeks ago. Is that, you know, these, you know, when a politician wins by 10%, that's not all one party. There are people in there who are voting for whatever reason they are. And the message is getting out there. And once again, we want our politicians to stand up for us, the working people, the people who, you know, are doing what we're supposed to do in the American dream and contributing, not just passing over us to say, well, let's just make sure the billionaires can buy an island.
We need to take care of them.
Yeah, they're the ones.
We need to take care of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, if you want to, feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
Just do a Google search for some of the rallies that AOC and Bernie Sanders have been having around the country. Big, big turnouts. and apparently lots of support. And don't forget as well that they are supposed to work for us.
Yeah, we pay them.
So call them. Go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is type in your address, and that's going to bring up all of the contact information you could possibly need, the phone numbers and the addresses and all of those things. And yes, it does make more of a difference if you are actually in their district.
Yeah. And also just be respectful, be kind.
Please.
You're talking to a 20-something-year-old.
You're talking to an aide.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't deserve to be yelled at. Yeah. They really don't. All right. Coming up, the legislatures in Wisconsin, unwillingness to part with money, shockingly, does not only affect blue areas of Wisconsin.
No.
I know. It's shocking. We'll kick that around next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, Lisa Schiller will be here from the Better Business Bureau, going to talk about the latest scams going around. I want to ask her about one. I'm getting phone calls from Western Union. I'm not quite sure what that's about. Well, I'll check the message before Lisa joins us.
Maybe someone sent you a telegram, ma'am.
I'm sure they sent me a telegram involving cash.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what it is. But as Representative Mark Pocan pointed out, this is also a great opportunity now when we're talking about changes to Social Security and things like that. This is a great, and even the tariffs affecting people's savings and their 401ks, this is a great time for scammers to try and jump in there and take advantage of folks.
Absolutely.
So Lisa Schiller will be joining us after the 11 o'clock news from the Better Business Bureau. If you have a question for Lisa, text it in now at 855-752-4842. Last half hour of the show, as we always do, we try and lighten things up a little bit within a segment we call Audio Sorbet. Wink Martindale, longtime game show host.
Yes.
Has passed away at the age of 91.
I thought he died a while ago.
91, that's really something. Yeah. But that got us talking about our favorite game shows. So we're going to talk about game shows after 11:30, your favorite game shows, what do you remember about them, what guests, what hosts, who was the best, who was the worst.
Yeah.
Game shows, your favorite game shows after 11:30, and we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Governor Gunslinger edition. Stick around for that. Right now, though, I thought this was interesting when I found it this morning in the Waukesha Freeman from Karen Pilarski with the byline. Waukesha County DA warns cases might not be charged amid prosecutor shortage. We've talked about this quite a bit over the last year and a half. The fact that the legislature is still sitting on $4 billion, correct?
Oh, yes, yes.
We still have a $4 billion surplus, mm-hmm. money which has already been approved that is still sitting in the Joint Finance Committee. Yeah. But I guess my greater point is this reluctance, this seeming reluctance on behalf, on our legislature's part to spend any of this money mm-hmm. doesn't affect just blue counties in Wisconsin. It affects all of us. And here is the example. Liesl Boise says Waukesha County has always been short on prosecutors who are state employees. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, it did get some funding from the American Rescue Plan. It also got some county monies, which helped cover two positions. These grants carried them through the shortage, but as of last year, they are down 10.6 prosecutors. So ideally, for every 10,000 residents, there should be one prosecutor.
Yeah.
Based on that, Waukesha County should have 41 prosecutors. Right now, they have 16.
And when I read that number, I mean, I can't imagine anything gets done when you're short that many.
And that's what the Waukesha County DA is saying is there is not enough staff to cover all of the criminal courts, court mm-hmm. commissioners, people to prep trials, charging cases, filing search warrants, all of those things. None of that stuff can get funded. Mm-hmm. Where is that money going to come from? And when we talk about crime in communities and cracking down on crime in communities, that means that we need more than just jails. We need people in our court systems mm-hmm. to help go through this process.
Well, and that just brings us right back to where you started from, Jane, is that this is a very unfortunate example of the fact that our certain leaders in Madison just choose not to help. They have the resources. Mm-hmm. They're right there. We've built a $4 billion surplus. We have money for PFAS. We have money for education. We have money for a lot of things that are set to be spent. And they're just saying, no, we're not going to do that. Not only that, they don't even give us a reason. They just don't take it up to begin with. They don't bother even putting it on the schedule. It just sits there right now. As we said before, there's still educational upgrades that went into place this past school year.
Mandated programs
paid for money paying for it sitting and the Joint Finance Committee will not release it. This is not a difficult problem to solve, at least in the case of Waukesha. You can give them the funding to make sure, just to make it go smoothly. And this is helping law and order. This is what this
exactly.
party is all about. They
yes.
love law and order. They want them to go through the process. Then give people the resources they need to do their jobs.
Boise says she was elected to the position, but in order to do her job, she needs resources like people. Quote, the state is not giving them to me. The state agreed to fund these positions many years ago before I even started. Now they keep saying the budget. What I'm saying is public safety is people's number one priority, not just in Wisconsin, but the entire United States. She's now drafting a letter to the governors and to Wisconsin lawmakers. She says she's met with many of them, trying to help them understand the gravity of the situation. It affects all of us.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who you voted for.
It really doesn't. We're kind of all in this together.
Yeah.
We have news coming up next. And when we return, we'll talk to Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau. Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone. I'm not so self-assured. Change my mind, I'll open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? Help me.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.